The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
We are Gotham Undercover. Hi, everyone. I am Karen the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And welcome to Gotham Undercover. Yay. Hi, everyone. Yay, I'm back. This is Gotham Undercover episode 80. We'll be talking, we're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. Tell us all about this episode, Jeff.
Well, this was A Dark Night, A Beautiful Darkness, and this was written by Zee Chun, and who's done, you know, lots of episodes of Gotham and Once Upon a Time, familiar face to the Gotham world here. And it was directed by John Stevens, who's one of the Gotham EPs, and he's also done work on Gossip Girl and the OC.
Excellent. Yeah, this was an episode to have the heavy hitters on.
Indeed, yeah. I think they did a really good job of balancing things out and moving the story along. So, yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this to be kind of a landmark episode until I watched it.
Yeah.
And then it was. I mean, yeah. We got some iconic moments in this episode. So, Crazy Town. Speaking of which, let's give our rating of this episode.
Yeah, I gave it 8.5 Ghost of Batman Future.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I was very close to giving it a 9, except for it just wasn't that, like, 9 epicness. It was more than a normal episode, better than a normal episode. It just wasn't that, you know, oh my God, so great. So I gave it 8.5 vials of Lazarus water.
Nice.
And it looked like absinthe. That bright green color. So our discussion titles this week are Smells Like Green Spirit. That is, of course, the Ivy storyline. Not Everyone Hates Mimes. Apparently Joker appreciates a good mime.
There you go.
He enjoyed it. A pig who shall not be named. And that seems to be the standoff between Sophia and James there. And then Bat-a-Rang. Because someone is ringing Bruce's doorbell there. And that it's a weak title for such an iconic moment. And this is, I think, what we're most excited to talk about is the little part of this episode that was such an iconic part of the Batman lore coming into Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
We get his Batman creation moment here, right?
Yeah, it was. I loved the imagery of this whole sequence because it just tells you in this one sequence, and I led off of with the blog post about this sequence because it was so important. The lines that were delivered, the images that were given, it was just so important. I love the fact of the whole imagery of Bruce's face being taken off, of him being an empty shell. It was just so iconic of the whole Bruce discovering who he really was, and that's not Bruce.
Right. And not just that, there was also that little nod to the future Gordon, too, with the mustache.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. And of course, James blowing it off like, well, it's not such a good poison then, or whatever it was that he said. But you know, we get the whole, Bruce is already using that raspy affectation when he's going out as, I guess it's like proto Batman. It's not really Batman because he doesn't have the whole outfit yet and everything, but he's kind of using that kind of, you know, his own version of the raspy Batman voice. Mm-hmm. So he's, of course, projecting grown up raspy Batman voice onto that character. Right. And he's envisioning what he would wear, I'm assuming, onto that. And seeing that picture of what he wants to be. And then going into that alley where his parents were killed and seeing the chalk outlines and then seeing them disappear, which, you know, it's making way for, like, you know, clearing the slate of their deaths. Like, he's trying to clean the city, I'm guessing. The kind of the picture I got, not making his parents' death disappear, but, you know, that I'm guessing that imagery was making up for the fact that he couldn't stop his parents from dying. I don't know, something of that sort, maybe.
Right. Yeah. I think he was taking away the end of something. Those things were being erased because it was the end of something. But this alley, as Batman tells us, was his birthplace.
Right.
And so it ceased being necessarily the end of something, but now has become the beginning of something.
Right.
And I love that imagery. I loved the imagery of he's this person without a face. He's basically faceless and wearing his, you know, proto Batman suit.
Right.
And he confronts himself, and then that suit just falls away, kind of representing what we've seen this season with the kind of the death of that and the rise of Party Bruce. And then it takes Alfred to take him out and take him to this spot and really show, you know, him what's going to go forward. This is you've tried to outrun who you really are, and being then confronted by that image there in the Batcave, and being confronted by those bats and the birth of something new. I really love the symbolism.
They've
done an amazing job of showing the futility of him partying and doing, how empty it is, and how he thought that crime fighter was an empty shell, but it really is who he is.
Yeah.
And so I just love the imagery in this. And Jada and I were talking on the Facebook thread about how cool this is and how they shouldn't necessarily play down these things because it's who he really is. And it's the birth of Batman.
It is. And we talk so much about this show being about the city of Gotham. And yes, that is 100% true. Mm-hmm. But then we get these episodes where we see it is also about the birth of these supervillains and Batman. And yes, I think it's how Gotham created Batman and the supervillains and all that stuff. But it's this episode and episodes like it that show how Batman came to be. And this is taking the story as we know it, as canon, and keeping canon, they're faithful to it, and turning it on its head and showing it to us in a different way. But it's still canon.
Yeah,
And I really, really dig that. I mean, it was so great. So great. I mean, that this could have happened this way, really. I mean, it's just that Ivy showed it to him in a whole different way. He was still born in the alley. He still had this vision of all the bats. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still was in the cave, and there was all this other stuff. It's still canon. So I got really gleeful when I saw that part of this episode. This week has been so great for the superhero shows. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had episode 100. Where Fitzsimmons gets married. So I was crazy with all the shows this week. And of course, Batman becoming Batman. Just crazy good.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, I enjoy this series for a lot of reasons. Sometimes I can get frustrated, and I've been frustrated with Party Bruce, but I think it has taken, you know, the writers have been good and made me frustrated with him and made him frustrated with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And to really, it took Ivy's, you know, impetus to push him over the edge, but we would have gotten there anyway, because you listen at the parrot that he's got, and the parrot's spouting back
right, all the things
about being drunk and all this kind of stuff. But I appreciate how the writers have taken the time to develop the characters. And mm-hmm. that's what I appreciate about this series, is they are taking the time to make the character development seem real, to seem the progression of each of the characters, whether it's our heroes or our villains, to seem real, that makes it seem like, okay, yes, this is where it's going. I can see the end point that I'm used to in the movies and the comics, and I can see how it goes from here to there, and they're giving me these little steps, and I like the way that they're writing it.
Yeah, and we even got Raish in this episode.
Yeah.
That was fantastic, being very strange. So there were lots of flashes back to characters and characters in weird. Harvey playing Alfred.
Yeah.
strange. That was very strange. Donald probably enjoyed doing that. I'm guessing they kind of tease the actor who plays Alfred for his accent every once in a while.
Yeah.
On the set, and him getting to do that in real life. And then, you know, Alfred breaks through the window and he's like this SSA agent, and that was just brilliant. I mean, that was, you know, shades of his real life past.
Right, indeed.
And saving Bruce from himself.
Mm-hmm.
And taking him to that alley, putting him back in that dangerous situation. I mean, I just, every part of that sequence, and it was a sequence, although it was broken up into little parts.
Mm-hmm.
I really, 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 the whole episode was worth every minute of that sequence.
Right.
Even if there were parts of the other sequence, the other parts of the episode you didn't like, that storyline, as small as it was, that was a 10
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Penguin.
Yeah, definitely.
Penguin's losing it.
Yeah, he's been in there for weeks, and he's just trying to survive, basically. He
shoved everything down, yeah? You think?
Right. It comes out in the end that he is trying to just bide his time, because he knows that if he tries to break out, that that Sophia's going to punish him by punishing Martin, and
right.
You know, and he's just trying to survive in there. And I like the fact that we know that Jerome likes to push buttons.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to push people over the edge, and that's a Joker characteristic.
Of course.
As he's going to bring those things out, and whether it brings what he wants out or it just causes a person to snap, he doesn't really care.
Nope.
We kind of see that. But we see that have that effect on Penguin, because he is trying to bide his time, and Jerome is just not going to let him do that. He knows that he is better than that, and he's going to try to bring that out of him.
Yeah, and just the whole, you know, pushing him at the beginning when Penguin is just pushing everything down. You can see it weighing him down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's walking around like Mr. Sad Sack. And his Joker's goon is, you know, shoving him down on the shoulder, and it's literally pushing him down. And then, of course, the dancing like a clown sequence where they're you know, whipping at his feet, and then they beat him up at the end of that. And then it comes to the point where he's just breaking, and he decides he's going to set up Joker's guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, I thought. I thought, yeah. Well, here's the Penguin. Here he is. He's coming out of his shell finally. He's decided to get back at the Joker. So he sends his guy out. Now, how Jerome can't figure out that this is not the Penguin, I don't know, because he's got a pot belly.
Yeah.
That is not the Penguin, you know, rail thin Penguin.
Yeah.
But he pulls the bag off his head, and of course it's not him, it's his dude, and Penguin kills him with the electricity, and Jerome is, you know, thrilled that he's gotten the Penguin to come out of his shell.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, hooray, and Penguin is taken aback, and he's holding out the spork. It's a spork, definitely. Thank you, KFC, for inventing it. I guess it's KFC. I don't know, because that's the only place I've ever really seen it. And Jerome says, well, that's a spoon. And he says, it's also a fork. And that's where we get the miming. And I don't know how he knew that Jerome was going to obey the laws of mime, but he does, and he won't go past the invisible wall of the mime, and yeah. Jerome opens up the invisible door, and that's where Jerome goes in, and he ends up getting beaten up in the side, and Jerome is pleased as punch that he has gotten this reaction out of Penguin, even though it ends up that, you know, Penguin has quote unquote bested him in this endeavor. It doesn't matter to him. He just wanted Joker to wake up and, you know, and maybe now he's able to come up with a way to get them out of here. Although Joker doesn't, I mean, Penguin doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Right. I love this because Jerome is a showman. I mean, that's his background, and he loves that. I mean, you see him reveling in the fact of playing along, and you then later in the episode, you see a Penguin questioning why he's still there, because he says, you know, listen, you've got not only the inmates here, you know, under your thumb, you've got the guards. Why haven't you left yet? I mean, you know, you're going to break out. And it draws Jerome out to say, no, I've got a plan. I want to turn Arkham into the asylum, but I need, you know, the right level of craziness to help me do that. And that's where we see why he wants to draw the Penguin out, because he sees that as an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, you know, we see him refuse, but it's not gonna hold off for long. I mean, because their two interests are going to kind of merge fairly soon, I'm thinking. And I love the fact of, part of it was Jerome pushing Oswald, and part of it was the challenge of the meeting with Ed. And I love this section because we've been dealing with Ed struggling with his two sides. And we really saw it last week where he was really scared because his other side had come out and basically tried to kill Doc Lee.
Yeah.
And he's trying to go into the prison to remind himself of what he's got and where Penguin is and how he doesn't want to be there. And he's trying to use this as a touchstone. But then behind the scenes, Riddler is using that as a way to draw himself out. I love the whole origami penguin and mm-hmm. the riddle on the back and how it just sets Penguin's mind in motion. And that combined with Jerome just draws him out of where he was. And I really loved how it wasn't just one or the other. It was both that drew him out.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who knows where this is going, right?
Right. I mean, we see Oswald write a letter to Ed. And it's going to, you know, maybe cause, you know, this break, this full Riddler comeback. But we'll see.
Yeah. Crazy. I can't wait. Yeah, because, you know, when they get together, hilarity ensues.
As long as you're on the Riddler's side and not against him.
That's right. That's right. Otherwise, evil ensues. And
exactly.
It usually turns into that. It's like when my cats get together and they start hugging each other, it usually turns into a boxing match. There's only so long they can tolerate each other.
Right.
That's kind of how they are. Okay, so let's talk about a pig who shall not be named. That has been this dance that's been going on for the past mm-hmm. couple of episodes. Sophia yeah. and James... They're at a standoff right now, and
right.
neither one of them have the upper hand.
No, neither one of them have the upper hand. They're Jim, I think, is really trying to cope and trying to find where he stands and trying to come back to where he knows he should be. And Sophia is wanting to assert herself and thinks she's in control, but neither one of them are succeeding very well at it.
Yeah.
Once again, we see she's moving to kind of solidify control. She's coming to the sirens to kind of firm up her control there and get a standing there. And then we also see her meeting with Doc Lee to kind of get leverage over Jim there. She's just trying her.
Yeah. I see that, but I don't know how firm a footing she's going to get there. I mean, he cares about her, definitely.
Right.
But they don't have that relationship right now.
Right.
So,
but I see it as Sophia's grasping at straws.
Yeah.
Because She's gone to Barbara, who's had that relationship with him in the past. Now,
right.
they do have the crime side of it, too. But she's, you know, Barbara has had insight on Jim in the past and because of their relationship. And then she comes to Lee, and she's trying to get some semblance of control or control over Jim. And because he has thrown the whole pig thing back in her face,
yeah.
and she's just trying to get control, and he's floating now too. I mean, they're both trying to get a grasp on things, and neither one of them are succeeding.
No, but the one thing he has in his favor is that he works for the city, and that is his period. You know, his
mm-hmm.
dot on the end of the sentence is
right.
The good of the city comes first
mm-hmm.
because that, you know, the good of the many over the good of the few. I mean, that's
yeah.
his thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to pull from all these pop culture references, but that is essentially his creed, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is Gotham comes first because that is that's the big picture for him. And
mm-hmm.
if that means that he has to kind of let Lee flounder.
Mm-hmm.
Because of something that Sophia pulls, then he has to, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. And I think he's got an inkling of, I mean, he's always known her strength, but after last week of seeing the influence that she has and the call that she has down in the Narrows,
mm-hmm.
he realizes that he doesn't have to necessarily protect her.
No.
That he can go for the needs of the city and try to go there, and she can handle herself.
Right. So I don't think that she's going to be that bargaining chip that Sophia thinks she is.
Mm-mm.
And I can see that Sophia's going to lose some ground. I don't know that she has that strength, that position of strength that she thinks she does. I mean, right. She already didn't have it with Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think she got that Barbara just was not that big of a deal to him. You know, he could take or leave her.
Yeah.
You know, if she dies tomorrow, I mean, I'm sure he'd be sad for the whole past they had.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd go on fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd be really sad about Lee.
Yeah.
But again, as long as it was the city stayed safe, that's his focus. That's his laser focus. So yeah, I don't think she's really going to take him away from that.
And see, the thing about this is it makes her dangerous, mm-hmm. because once she realizes those things, she's going to try to probe for other weaknesses,
yep.
around him. And whether that's Harvey, whether that's Bruce, whether, you know,
yep.
we've yet to see.
She's going to flail. And
right.
flailing is much worse than these targeted strikes.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's where we're going to run into trouble. I agree with you, mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's where he's going to have weaknesses for sure, is Harvey, anything to do with Bruce. Because
mm-hmm.
Bruce is, you know, he's known him since his parents were murdered. He sees a lot of himself in Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a big thing there. And, of course, his partner, Harvey, is like a brother to him. So
mm-hmm.
that's a big deal to him as well. Yeah, there's some really tight people in his life that he would care about.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see her going there. She hasn't gone there yet for a reason,
mm-hmm.
because she knows she would be in big trouble if those backfire on her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's putting too much stake in Lee. So
yeah, me too.
We'll see where that goes. I think she thinks Lee is that safe balance between he cares just enough, but not so much that it'll backfire on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
Okay, now the main story, I think, was this whole thing with Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy and Selena.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Selena, of course, she went with Ivy, but she ended up not being a big part of it. Selena was just kind of the conduit to which we got our main characters involved with Ivy. Because
right.
they wouldn't have connected her to anything unless Selena had been with her.
Exactly.
So that's how we find out. That's how Gordon finds out who she is. And then as soon as that happens, Selena's off. and that was a good way to connect them. That,
yeah.
You know, of course, it's reasonable that she would go. And as soon as Selena's not in it anymore, no, I'm not up for killing. That's not my thing. And you did notice she robbed the guy. She was off in another room when mm-hmm. Ivy was killing him. She was like, hey, what'd you do while I was in this other room stealing stuff?
Yeah.
So she ended up getting something out of the deal. She wasn't up for the whole killing thing, so off she went. And she was ready to rat on her, too, because she wasn't up for that.
I mean, she was in a rock and a hard place with thinking she was going to have some fun and they were going to just, you know, pull some heist and things like that. And when she really realized Ivy's real reason and obsession, that frightened her. And, you know, she's like out of there because
sure.
she doesn't want to be a part of that. And she knows how powerful Ivy is. And I really liked this episode because of, once again, getting to see the development of Ivy going from just kind of being mean-spirited and killing those she doesn't like, to having an agenda and a plan and speaking for the plants, but, you know, and doing that at the detriment of humankind.
Right.
But I just love her thought, thinking things out and putting those plans in action, not just reacting to what's going on, but really saying, okay, let me take this next step. Who do I need to talk to? Who do I need to get the information out of? And it was really cool to kind of see that drive come out in Ivy. You know, it really, once again, reflects of who Ivy is, and seeing her really kind of move into that sphere.
Agreed. And Peyton List is doing mm-hmm. a really good job, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As our third Ivy. I like that they aged her up. I think they did a good job there. Peyton List now on her third turn as a comic book character.
Indeed.
So very cool. She was in Flash, of course, before this.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the second one? I don't remember.
Yeah, Golden Glider in that.
Golden Glider, sorry.
And then she's been in, she's had, was she in Tomorrow People? And she was also in, she had her own series. Yeah. On CW. I keep thinking Radio Static because that's the GSN
yes,
podcast.
That was on the podcast based around it.
Frequency.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. But this was her third. All right. This was her third comic book character. Well, she played Emma Ross as the voice of Emma Ross in The Ultimate Spider-Man. But she also played someone else. Why can I not think of it? Anyway, I'm sorry. I can't think of it. But this is her third comic book character. But anyway, now she's Poison Ivy. And she was really great in this.
Mm-hmm.
And convincing, of course, Bruce that she was Ivy by just calling him Billionaire Boy.
Billionaire Boy, yeah.
That was wonderful, too. I like the whole perfume thing.
Yeah, yeah. I like how, you know, we see her using it and everybody either falls in love or thinks she's totally cool.
She's totally cool. Yeah. The women think she's cool, and the men are in love with her.
Right.
She's so beautiful.
And she whammies the entire station.
Yeah. How does she do that? Does she just go around to each one, or
well,
do you think
Harper says that she had Harper introduce her to everyone. So she whammied Harper, and then Harper introduced her to everybody. So everybody got kind of whammied one-on-one.
Crazy.
So she had the entire station. Oh, and they were like, we don't think you were talking well about Ivy with Jim.
You didn't seem that sincere.
Yeah.
It was very funny. I enjoyed it. They were all staring at James and Selena. Selena. Yeah.
I love Alvarez had a heart with, you know, Alvarez and Ivy.
Alvarez and Ivy on his desk doodling. So funny. And poor Lucius. Poor Lucius. I'm glad that he had the wherewithal to start the recorder.
Yeah, that was a smart move.
It was. And we all know that Lucius is smart. So, yeah. Hooray. And I love that he's in this season. I really do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And once again, we see this relationship with Bruce that he's got going on that we've ever since Bruce brought him in to kind of help with the computer, the back computer there, he has been a part in doing things and kind of being there on the download. And as soon as he kind of gets an inkling of what Ivy may be looking for, he immediately calls Bruce about Project M. And I love, you know, even the whammied Fox was a lot of fun in this mm-hmm. episode. I know jujitsu. I take night classes.
But he still ends up hitting him anyway, yeah, and knocking him out enough to take the whammy off of him, which is
right.
Good. He was so cute, though, wasn't he, mm-hmm, when he was following her around?
Yeah.
You're so beautiful. And it was dangerous that she gets that
Lazarus water. So, like, I was on Twitter when I during the show, I was like, Ivy with Lazarus water is bad news for Gotham, because you see her combine, you know, a couple drops of that with her blood, and the effect that it has on that plant, that it immediately, the pollen of that plant kills those two people, immediately causes them to decompose and start sprouting those flowers. I'm like, mm-hmm, this is bad news for
Horrible
Gotham
news.
Because she is so powerful now,
yes,
with that stuff.
That means that she can keep things alive indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows where she's going with that.
Yeah.
That, not so good. Not so good. I love her in this role.
Yeah.
By the way, she played Lana Lane in Smallville.
Smallville. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But yeah, I do. I enjoy her in this role.
Oh, Lucy Lane, sorry.
Yeah. I enjoy her in this role. I enjoy what they're doing with the character. Like I said last week, I was a little hesitant when they're like, okay, this is the third Ivy, but I'm trusting them because she's doing a great job and they're writing well for her. And so I appreciate that a whole lot.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't care that they go through them. I think Ivy needs to be mature,
mm-hmm,
in order to be Poison Ivy. She can't be a little kid to do the things that she does. So that's fine. Now, she's going to be in next week's episode, which is reasonable because she has that Lazarus water. And there's some other stuff happening in next week's episode as well. Selena is also going to be in it. So I'm pretty excited as well. And also, Bruce has called Alfred back.
Yeah, I love it. I love that he listens, he sees what he's gone through with this vision, and Jim gives him advice that he has fought with darkness and he needs help, so reach out to his friends. He immediately dials Alfred,
yep,
leaves him a message to reach out for him, and so I appreciate that he really sees, okay, I messed up.
Yep.
I need help. I need Alfred back. So,
that's
yeah.
Good. He
so
could have
happy.
Been like a petulant teenager and not done it.
Right.
But instead, he decided to go ahead, and that was the best thing he could have done, mm-hmm, right then. So, and of course, Alfred is going to forgive him because Alfred is an adult too. So, yeah, I'm really happy that that's going to come back together. I don't think a lot of people were saying, a lot of people were saying they dragged it out. I don't think it's dragged out. I think it was just enough time for him to realize how bad he was. And
he
had to learn how to be a playboy.
Right. And I think it was good for Alfred because last week we got to see of who he is outside Wayne Manor and get to see a little bit of his personality that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has been reminded of who he is outside that role, and he can bring some of those things back into that role that he might not have before. So
sure.
I think it was good for both of them. I don't think it was too drawn out, but I think it was enough time for them both to kind of grow and realize what was going on.
Sure. And now they're going to appreciate each other again.
Right. Exactly.
I don't think Bruce is going to take him for granted anymore.
I don't think he is. I think he's going to realize what an asset that he has. And he may forget that from time to time, but he's going to realize that he needs help moving forward. And, even though he might not like all that Alfred has to say, that it's good to surround himself with people with that knowledge and that insight, because he can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I can't wait until he's back. And they're back as their bromance. I can't wait. Okay, so am I missing anything?
No, I think we got it.
Okay, good. And we do have some feedback from Justina, so yay, let's play it.
All right, here we go.
Hi, this is your Eye of the Sky Green Butterfly. Gotham turned out to be another amazing episode this week. Jerome and Oswald are so perfectly matched. It is interesting to watch them try to outsmart each other, even though they usually resort to a little bit more violence than I would like to see. Their shared scenes are great. And who knew Oswald could take on a second job as a mime? He's got skills. I really love this Ivy. I mean, she scares the heck out of me. Our original Ivy, the little girl, was very adorable and a good little actress. The next Ivy did a super job showing us that her body was grown up, but her mind is not. But this Ivy, fully matured, coming out of that chrysalis like a caterpillar to a butterfly, is really scary. And when you put her next to Selena, you really see it. Selena's just a little cat burglar with some more growing up to do. But Ivy, stay out of her way. And perhaps that poison will actually cause Bruce to come to his senses. Sometimes you need a near-death experience to teach you things. Oh, I hope this teaches him to turn his attitude around. This episode gets 10 out of 10 urgent voicemails. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
Thank you, Green Butterfly. Thank you,
Green Butterfly. Jinx.
Buy me a Coke.
Yeah, there you go.
Buy me a coffee. I'd rather have a coffee. Thank you, Justina.
We thank you so much for giving your feedback, and hopefully you didn't have to cover your eyes too much for this episode.
Yeah, there wasn't that much grossness, right?
No, not too bad.
Yeah. Some beating up in the prison, but otherwise, I don't know. The plant thing was weird, right?
Yeah.
The plant thing growing out of people's mouths. I thought it was cool, though.
Yeah.
Right?
The effect last week and this week, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty awesome, I thought. I mean, that's a poison ivy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, ivy coming around someone's body and choking them. And, I mean, she does stuff like that. It's very cool. So, yeah. Great thoughts on the episode. I think also that the three phases of ivy, they were very different as well. The little ivy, very cute, doing very cute plant things. The second phase of ivy doing also, you know, plant things. She was getting some powers, but mm-hmm. this third phase of ivy definitely coming out of a chrysalis like a plant sort of thing mm-hmm. would do. And also getting powers because of all that stuff in that shop. Mm-hmm. It was very, very believable. Just, I thought it was a perfect origin story for her.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I really, really liked it. So thanks for that insight on that.
Yeah, and Jada and I had a lot of fun talking on the thread this week again, and Todd left his thoughts there as well. We just have a lot of fun, and we appreciate hearing everybody's thoughts. We got some cool interaction there on Twitter too, but we would really love to hear your thoughts. And Karen, how can they do that?
Well, they can leave us feedback, and our deadline Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 304-837-2278. That is a phone where you can call. And a phone is like that thing that you play games on. There's also a little icon that you can hit and numbers will come up, and you can put those numbers in 304-837-2278, and then you can talk into it and leave us a message. UPS man does that for us on Made of Steel. Or, you know, if you're like us and you're in our century, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback and you can leave us a text message right in the little box there. Mm-hmm. You can attach an audio file Or you can use the SpeakPipe widget, which is right on the right-hand side of the page, and it'll open up and it'll open your microphone, and you can speak right into it, and it'll attach that like an audio message and send it right to us. Mm-hmm. So you can do all three of those different ways right there from that feedback page. Our Twitter, our Instagram, and our Tumblr is all Gotham GSM. So @GothamGSM. Jeff is pretty much in charge of that, and he does an amazing job. So you got to give him some serious props there. I retweet stuff there sometimes, but mm-hmm. otherwise, Jeff is like the guru when it comes to that stuff. I'm on Alivaria all the time doing things, but man, yeah. He is all over that Gotham GSM. And to subscribe in iTunes or to any GSM podcast, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple.
That's right. That's right.
So tell us about next week's episode. I'm really excited. I saw the pictures and it looks really interesting and very campy.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. It's titled A Dark Knight Reunion. Ivy picks her next target, leading Gordon and Lucius back to an old friend. As Selina takes matters into her own hands, Sophia wants full control of Gotham and turns to Lee about the state of the Narrows. Meanwhile, Bruce tries to make amends with Alfred, and Nygma visits Arkham in an all-new A Dark Knight Reunion episode of Gotham. And that's next Thursday, the 15th at 8 p.m. And yeah, the pictures are up and it looks like some cool pictures. They haven't kind of revealed yet who that old friend is yet. But the pictures are up for that episode and the following episode.
The following episode looks crazy town.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, my goodness.
That looks very weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some onesies happening in the next episode after that.
Yeah.
So, go look at the pictures on our Facebook page. Yeah. Please just search for Gotham Undercover in Facebook because... Really, you have to see these pictures. I mean, it's none of our guys in the onesies, unfortunately, because that would be precious. But these pictures are...
Let me say, that's a new side for Mr. Penn.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. He is wearing a bib.
Mm-hmm.
With a ducky on it. So, yeah, it looks pretty crazy the week after this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, some really great episodes coming up, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait to talk to you about them. I've missed you a lot.
I've missed talking with you as well.
Big time. So hopefully I'm back for good now. Yay, yay. And I am so glad I got to talk to you, with you about this episode because iconic.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's it for this week. We will be back next week with A Dark Knight Reunion and we'll find out who they're going to talk about. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll do a poll in our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Who you think their old friend is.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you next week, Jeff, and we'll talk to you guys later, too.